those of you, and again, all of our services are recorded. You can get podcasts, you can get video, all the rest of that. It's all online, so you won't miss a thing. But those of you that are brand new here, whether today's your first day or you've been here a couple of weeks or months or whatever it is, I would love to meet you. We're going to take a few minutes in the fireplace room, which you can go out the back and down the hallway or straight out through this door and meet me there. We'll spend about 20 minutes or so together. So you can do that right now. And so Adam is going to come. Adam, you're ready to go, aren't you?
That I am.
So come on. And God bless you guys. If you're new, come with me.
Good morning. I feel like there's a good energy in this room this morning, you know? And we're going to need energy to get through this sermon. Planet-shaking prayers, all right? You ever prayed one of those prayers? One of those prayers that shakes your world down to its foundation? You ever prayed a prayer that actually gives you more work to do than before you prayed? Nehemiah prayed one of those prayers. He prayed a planet-shaking prayer that gave him 12 years of hardship, of being beset on all sides by enemies and detractors and people that said, you can't do what God has told you to do. I love Nehemiah. He is a man's man, you know? He is a godly man of scripture. He's a leader. He's a worker. He's a disciplinarian. He is somebody that followed after God's commands, no matter how impossible they seem to be. He's a man of fervent prayer and a man of careful consideration, who waited upon the Lord for instruction, who cried out to the Lord for wisdom that he needed, for the strength that he needed to set his face like flint against a world that tried to stop him from his God-given task. He was dependent fully on God. He knew that if he was going to do what God asked him to do, that he was going to have to get on his knees, ball up his fists, clench his teeth, and cry out, God, give me the strength, give me the perseverance, give me the wisdom to do what you have set me to do. So let's see how he did that. Nehemiah 1, 5 through 11, his planet-shaking prayer. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for your people Israel, your servants. Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept your commandments, the word that you commanded your servant Moses. We have not kept your statutes or your rules. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed with your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight in the fear of your name. Give success to your servant this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. That's how you pray. Nehemiah never makes much of himself during this prayer. He praises God at every single turn. He takes responsibility for his sin. He recognizes the sin of his family and of his countrymen. And he asks for so little. He asks for God's mercy. And he asks for favor with the king. Nehemiah is honest. He's vulnerable. And he can do that because he's confident that God knows what he needs and that God is able to provide him with all that he needs. But Nehemiah doesn't pray for a handout. Nehemiah doesn't pray for a miraculous bag of cash. He doesn't pray to get swept away by angels in order not to deal with his boss. No, he prays for an opportunity. He says, God, give me the opportunity to make much of your name, and I'm going to run with it as far as you let me run with it. God, you give me the words, give me the wisdom to speak what you want me to speak, and give me the grace not to screw it up. Asking for wisdom is always a good thing. What does it say in the book of James? If you ask, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. You want a prayer that God will never say no to? Ask him for wisdom. God never runs out of it. He's always got it to give. He's always happy to give it to us when we ask for it. Because God doesn't always answer prayers and signs and wonders. God doesn't always answer with miraculous healing. Sometimes God answers your prayer for healing, setting you up with the right physical therapist to get you up and back on your feet again to see that healing. I've seen this myself. My son Toby has scoliosis, which is a side effect of his Marfan syndrome, and we pray for healing, and we go to an orthopedist that says, well, I don't know, we can brace him, I guess, but it's only like a 30% chance that that's going to do any good for him. Especially at a kid of his age with his issues. But we pray. We pray, God, give us the right physical therapist. Give us the right therapies to do. Let us have the ability to get to these appointments, and we will go and we will see healing done this way. We will glorify you in everything that we do in order to see healing come to pass in my son. Lord, give us favor with this orthopedist that doesn't really want to write us this script. And we're seeing it happen. So why not pray like that for everything? For our health, for our jobs, for our family, for our marriages, for our dating lives, whatever it may be. Let's pray for opportunity to make much of God's name in everything that we do, to work to see these things come to pass. But what is Nehemiah praying about? In verses 1 through 3, we see, he says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who has survived the exile is in great trouble and great shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are destroyed by fire. Now I was the cupbearer of the king. So that's what Nehemiah is praying about. He's praying about the desolation and the destruction that has happened in Jerusalem. And he's praying for favor with the king, which we see in verses 4 through 5. And the king asked me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said, King, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, then send me to Judah, the city of my fathers, that I may rebuild it. Just in case you're wondering, Nehemiah has no idea how to do any of this stuff. Nehemiah is far away from this issue and is thoroughly unqualified to take care of it. He has no idea how to organize people. He has no idea how to fund a project like this, let alone build new walls around Jerusalem. But he is so burdened by the destruction of his homeland, he pours over the scriptures, finding out what it is that God is looking for him to do, what needs to be done to bring glory to God's name. And God says, go. Do this thing that you've never done before. Do this thing that you are unqualified to do. I've got a mission for you. I've got purpose for you. Go. This is kind of where the rich young ruler in Matthew 19 goes wrong, when Jesus tells him, give all your stuff away and follow me. Now, this is not guaranteed for all of us. We're not all going to be called to completely do a 180 on the course of our lives and turn things around and throw our comfort into the bin. But if we are asked to do that, how are we going to answer? We also get a bonus prayer lesson in here, too. So right before Nehemiah asks for favor with the king, asks him to let him go, it says that he prayed to the God of heaven. Now, I know some of us are afraid that when we pray, we don't pray for long enough or use enough words. You want proof that not all prayers have to be long? This prayer goes up to God in between the time that the king asks Nehemiah what he wants and the time that Nehemiah tells him. That's a short prayer. Now, if I had to use my sanctified imagination as to what it was that Nehemiah said to the Lord right before he asked the king to let him go, it would be something along the lines of, Lord, give me the words to say, and don't let my voice tremble when I say them. We always have time for prayers like this. The Lord is never upset if you ask for something to help you to accomplish his purposes. He's never upset. He never holds back his strength if we're doing something to glorify his name. So we always have prayer. We always have time for prayer like this. And we know that Nehemiah is seeking the glory of God. We know that he is after God's purposes because this is not his first prayer. The one I read at the beginning is his first prayer is looking for that wisdom to get him tapped into what God wants for him in this issue. And it says at the beginning, he says, as soon as I heard the words about Jerusalem and being in desolation, said, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So before this quick prayer, God already knew that Nehemiah had a heart for this issue. He was well aware of Nehemiah's intentions. And he spends days looking for answers as to why this is happening. And he's frustrated, right? He's frustrated with himself for his sin. He's frustrated with his people for their sin. He mourns over it. He weeps over it. But he knows that God is just. But it doesn't stop him from feeling terrible and just burdened by these feelings. And these feelings are good and they are right. And I understand, I may not be the most emotional, touchy-feely sort of guy, but these emotions that God has given us, he's given us for good purpose. He's given us these emotions to spur us on in prayer, to have zeal in our preaching, in order to be exuberant in our praise as we were this morning. These applications for these emotions are good and they are right. In their proper application. So despite the fact that Nehemiah is frustrated and sad and mourning over the sin of his people, he's also not saying, God, I told him. No, he's aware of his own sin. And that's the line that we have to walk, right? We have to be able to call out sin for what it is as it's happening. We have to be able to tell people that it's wrong and that judgment will in fact come for it. But when judgment does come, and people mourn, and people weep, when that judgment comes down rightly, though we know it is just, we are still meant to mourn with them. We are still meant to weep with them. We are not meant to say, "I told you so," for people with repentant hearts. And that's hard, I know. It's hard. It's an emotional battle. And it's not emotional because it defies logic, because all of us in this room are recipients of God's grace, and we know that we need it. But it defies our pride and it defies our self-righteousness to give grace to those with repentant hearts. But Nehemiah doesn't wallow in these feelings. He doesn't afflict himself and cry in order to prove his sadness to God. He takes that time while he's weeping, while he's praying, to pore over the scripture to find out what it is that God wants from him, why these things have happened. And yes, we need to have those quick prayers. God, guard my heart, guard my mouth, strengthen my hands in this moment. But we need to cover these moments in prayer prior to that. What Nehemiah is doing is what Paul told the Ephesian church they should be doing. Nehemiah is putting on the full armor of God in his prayers. And what Paul said to the Ephesian church was praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Nehemiah is not just going out and embarking on this mission of his own mind. This is not a mission of his own making. He spends days mourning, weeping, fasting, praying. He is persevering in prayer, in the will of God, making supplication for all of the saints, all of his countrymen that are affected by this desolation. And he fasts as an outpouring of his grief. Like Pastor Brad said, we are going to get more into this on Wednesday and the reasons that we fast. But Nehemiah is fasting out of grief for his own sins, out of grief for the sins of his people, grief for the judgment that has come down, despite the fact that he knows that it's just. It's not self-affliction as penance. Especially when we fast as Christians. This isn't something that we do in order to make up for our own sin. Jesus did that on the cross. So we don't have to worry about that. But this is fasting in order to get the worldly things out of the way, in order to draw more comfort from God, and in order to line us up with his will, to spend more time with him, finding out what it is that he wants for us. All right, so that's the why he prayed. That's the how he prayed. Let's get back into the what that Nehemiah prayed. And I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant." We talked about this a little bit last week. In the Lord's Prayer, it's always good to start off a prayer with acknowledging God for who he is. Nehemiah says that God is great and awesome. And in the Hebrew, it means to be feared. Now, in today's day and age, we like to soften that fear of God to mean respect. Now, while it is true that we should respect God, the fear of God does not mean the respect of God. The fear of God means the fear of God. Very self-explanatory. But it's not our fault, because we've been fed this lie by pretty much everybody, at least since I can remember, that we come to hate the things that we fear. That's not true. It's not true. How many people in this room had a fear of their earthly father? I did. I had a fear of my earthly father, and my dad never hit me once. But you know what? I always knew that if he wanted to, he could end me. So I tried not to invoke that in him. But you know what? I love my dad. I love him. I know that he always wanted what was best for me. I know that what he sacrificed in order to get me the things that I need. So when I do things for my dad, despite my fear of him, I do them out of a love for my dad. So yes, the fear of God is a legitimate and right fear of God. But Nehemiah, he uses that fear of God in order to pivot into another attribute of God, which is steadfast in love. God warrants our fear, but he is benevolent and he is loving. Nehemiah is just saying, Lord, you are mighty beyond my ability to comprehend. You are powerful in an immeasurable way, but you are love. Your commandments are good, and you bear with your people despite the fact that we are inevitably going to fail. Nehemiah loves God. He fears God. He knows God's plan is what's best. And that power that God has that causes a right fear in us, it should also, because he is loving, cause us to be confident to ask him for anything, because he's always got the power to give it to us. He's always got the might to bring us through the circumstances that we're in. Even when we don't think it's possible, God has that power. So we can be confident that God will answer our prayers and bring us through. So Nehemiah, he lowers himself before God in submission and servitude to ask that God would hear his prayer. He says, now I pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which they have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and we have not kept your commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you have commanded your servant Moses. He asked God to see his need and the need of his people. He asked God to hear his prayer, and then he asks God for forgiveness. Nehemiah repents before God because he knows why things have gone wrong in Israel. He knows why the walls have been torn down and the gates have been burned by fire. It's judgment for his sins, for the sins of his people. So he repents of that wrongdoing. And he can't repent for his countrymen. We can't repent on behalf of someone else. Okay? But the acknowledgement of the fact that his countrymen have sinned is him asking God, soften their hearts, Lord, that they would also repent. Bring them into right relationship with you. Cause them to enter into true worship of you again as I am doing right now. Nehemiah is getting all of these things out of the way of his prayer. He is making sure that when he does eventually ask for the small favor that he asks, that nothing is getting in the way of it. He lets God know that he knows who he is. He is confident in his great power and his great strength. He gets the repentance out of the way. Lord, I know I don't deserve your grace and that strength that you have, God, but please, please give it to me. I will turn from my sin and I will ask that the people that have sinned before you will do the same. Lord, your law is just. We've acted foolishly. We've acted corruptly. And we know that we can't fix what we've done. But we love you. We ask that you would forgive us yet again, despite our rebellion. And Lord, remember, you said you would. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me, keep my commandments and do them, though you're outcast in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them up and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. Now it seems presumptuous to remind God of something. But this Nehemiah, he is paraphrasing God's word back to him. He's Leviticus 26, 33 and Deuteronomy 31 through 5. He is praying these things right back to God. God did not forget his promises to Israel. Just as an FYI, he is well aware of what he promised them. What Nehemiah is saying is, God, I know your word is true. I've read it. I believe you. Let now be the time when we turn around. We've already seen the curse, Lord. Let us see the blessing now. Turn back and let's see you gather us back together. This is not in my notes, but do we not need that now? Let's pray something earth-shaking right now. Let's stand to our feet and pray something earth-shaking right now by the Spirit of God. Lord, we repent before you this morning, God, for where we have sinned, for where we have fallen short in this culture, for where we have not brought your word to bear on people's lives, on our very own lives, Lord. So we ask of you this morning, God, this country has sinned against you. This country has fallen so far from you, God. So we ask you this morning, Lord, we ask you this morning, bring us back together. Bring us back under your rule and reign this morning, Lord. Set it upon our hearts to do the kingdom work that you have set before us. God, let your church lead the way. Let the world see the grace of your Son, Christ Jesus. And he died for all of our sins that we have committed. God, let us lift the name of Jesus high in this country. In everything that we do, Lord, let us not fall prey to the schemes and the threats of men. Let us be faithful to you. Be thankful to you. And be obedient to you in your word. That the rest of this country, that the rest of this world, that the powers that be in this country and that throughout the world would bow the knee to the name of Jesus and confess his lordship. Thank you, God. Thank you. You guys can be seated. That was... Nehemiah is praying scripture back to God. That is always a good thing to do. You want to know if you're in the will of God? Pray scripture. Pray scripture specifically, because that's what Nehemiah is doing here. This isn't like, oh, I saw Jesus heal somebody in the scripture, so it's God's will to heal everybody. No, this is Nehemiah looking at Mosaic and Levitical law and saying, okay, God, here's the promise that you made in this context to give these people what you're promising. Lord, let this be the time that this takes place. He's being very specific. And again, You want to be in the will of God, you pray scripture back to God. We need to know our scripture, not to just have zeal and in our preaching and our teaching, not just because it's something as Christians that we're meant to do. No, we do it so we know how to pray. We know what the promises of God are, and we can line ourselves up with those promises so that we know what the will of God is. So when we pray, we know that we're in the will of God. We need to know our Bible. Bibles, so we know what God is leading us to do. And now Nehemiah didn't look in the scripture and go, oh, there it is. There's a prophecy that says I'm supposed to go build that wall. He wasn't at synagogue and somebody came up to him afterwards and says, I got a word for you. I saw a trowel and some mortar in your future. No. He read the scripture. He saw his people's need. He saw what needed to be done in order to enact the will of God, in order to enact the promise of the blessing. So he went and he did what needed to be done under the power and under the direction of the Lord. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah closes out his prayer with more praise, more adoration, and an acknowledgement of the conditions of that promise. And none of what Nehemiah prays makes his life any easier. 12 years of hardship. 12 years of trying to tell people, nope, this is what God has for me and what God has for his people. Get out of my way, because this is what we're doing. 12 years of battle. He prays for favor with the king to let him go. But Nehemiah never prays for ease. He prays for work. He prays for opportunity. He prays for glorious purpose. I don't think that we should shy away from prayers like that. I don't think we should pray for ease. I don't think that we should pray that things would be simple. I think that we should pray that whatever we do, no matter how difficult, that it brings glory to God. That it lifts high the name of Jesus. I think that's how we should pray this week. I think that's how we should pray this week. We should pray this week that God would give us kingdom work to do. That God would give us a holy cause to support. And it might be hard. God might call you to do something difficult. God might take you and just pull you right out of your comfort zone. God may take you where you are and turn your path around and say, I've got more purpose for you here. Do this. Do this with my will in mind. Do this to my glory in your current workplace, in your current family, in your current situation. Do what you do to my glory and your good. So I'm going to project what I'm going to pray for us this morning behind me. Pray along with me. You don't have to keep up, but let's stand and let's pray this way this morning. Lord, give us eyes to see what you have to show us, ears to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, set our faces like flint against a world who seeks to disgrace us. Soften our hearts towards you and your people. Put steel in our spines to stand for your word. God, strengthen our hands to do your work and swing your sword. Let our feet not tire as we walk out your call for our lives. Bless us with glorious purpose. Bless us with kingdom work. Let every drop of blood, every drop of sweat, every tear we cry be used to water a seed that we plant for the praise of your mighty name, to lift high the name of Jesus, the rock of our salvation and the anchor of our souls, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's praise him.
Stronger than the power of the grave.
That's true, isn't it? You know, I wish all of you could have just been in that fireplace room with me. There were 9 new people there. Okay? 9. And they raised everywhere from several months to 2 weeks, week number 2. You know, here. They ranged from brand new Christians just this week to 41 years in the Lord. And the stories they told, great stuff, great stuff. Hallelujah. It's amazing. I'm just trusting God. You know, I mean, we got text messages this morning. We think it's Paul this and that who's down in D.C. leading people to Jesus. And we're getting text messages, you know, a new life. We're like, what? You know, I think it's coming out of D.C. That's what we think it's, you know. So he's down there leading people to Jesus. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. So, but we're going to close today. And thank you, Adam. You know, I mean, Adam's main points. Here's the message wrap-up, right? I mean, that's a powerful message from Nehemiah. Persistently seek wisdom, right? Amen. Acknowledge God for who he is. Yeah. Repent. Yeah, we all need to do that. Pray scripture into God's promises. Yeah. And pray for opportunity and strength to follow through. That's what he preached this morning. And so let's pray. Let's do 2 things as we go here. If you need prayer, our ministry team will be up here and they'll pray with you about any particular matter. If you need to meet Jesus, they'll help you with that. If you need prayer for any matter, they'll help you, but they'll be up here in our ministry team and they'll pray with you. Let's do 2 things. Let's pray that we can step fully into everything God's called us. And then can you guys all do me a favor? The church is growing and we're thankful for that. But I really could use, after 3 years, I really could use an assistant pastor. And could we pray one in? I even hired a headhunter, and he can't find somebody. And wow, crazy. So let's pray, because the Lord knows, right? Amen. So let's pray together. Lord, Nehemiah trusted you for the strength and the ability and the wisdom to accomplish the great task that you gave him. And he was successful in an extremely short period of time. And we're thankful for that. Lord, help us to pray and to trust you to accomplish the mission that you give to us. God, his principles work, Lord. They built this church. They built this church. And we're thankful for that. And Lord, we pray that you would just lead us, lead myself and the board to that person, that God, that's going to be a tremendous asset to this church and to me. Lord, as we continue to see this church move forward. Thanks, Lord. Be glorified in all things, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come and receive it. If you need to go, God bless you. Have a great day. Hallelujah.
Constant in the trial.